listening to Sci-Fi TV Rewatch, episode 553. My name's Dave, and I'm joined, as always, by my co-host, Wayne, as we continue our journey with the Netflix speculative series, Black Mirror. Another one that deals with justice. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. For you guys out there, we typically record on Mondays, so any feedback's got to be in to us Sunday, 6 p.m. Eastern. Audio feedback with a strict 6-minute time limit. And if you want to shoot us an email, scifitvrewatch@gmail.com is the way you can reach us. Wow. Interesting episode. I definitely enjoyed it, but as we'll talk in a few minutes, I ordinarily try to rewatch episodes, even ones that are inordinately long, but hey, whatever. But there's just some...
I remember this one being a little long, and then I saw the runtime. I'm like, oh, Dave, I'm sorry, bud.
But you know, it was something so disturbing about it that I just had said to myself, I can't rewatch it. Well, as it turned out, I did rewatch the first of the three stories. And then I kind of got caught up in doing other things. So, but anyway, so yeah, let's see. This is the seventh one we've done. So we've got three more to go.
Mm-hmm.
And then on to a new show on Max. Wow. And by the time this comes out on Friday, Three Body Problem will have already dropped on Netflix, and this is the U.S. version. There's certainly a Chinese version that is available, and actually, I think Alan is watching it as well. I mean, he might have finished it by now. It's like 30 episodes. I gave it a try, but it was I won't say less confusing than the book. Equally as confusing as the book, so I just I stopped after about five. But
For some reason, I thought you watched all of
it. No, I read the whole book, and then when I found out it was going to be on Netflix, I thought, well, let me reread it so that I maybe understand what it is that's going on here. And I got like halfway through, and I just like, nah, no. So I'm going to watch it on Netflix, and you know, we'll see how that goes. But it is the Chinese version. I believe it's available on Prime. It wasn't for a while. You had to, I think, go on. It was actually available on YouTube, I think. But
right.
I think it's on Prime now. But anyway, what are you watching this week?
So a couple things. I'm going to start with the finale of Masters of the Air. Was this past Friday, and a solid show. It was pretty good.
Elvis wasn't dead, think, after all.
No, spoilers, Dave. But yeah, like not that. Like I really,
I know.
I didn't really believe it. How do you hire Austin Butler, right? I still not. Nearly as good, I thought, as Band of Brothers. Not nearly as emotionally gripping, but they did have that episode with the Tuskegee Airmen that I thought was great. But I thought that they would go a lot farther with it than they did. They just barely admitted that there is such a thing as racism in the world, before they threw him into an adventure and everything. So, that. I thought was mostly problematic. I thought it was great that they included the Tuskegee Airmen, but I thought it kind of sucked that they didn't really, except for in just very briefly and superficially, admitted even the existence of racism. So, but overall, it would give it a solid meh. So I watched Poor Things on Saturday night.
Okay.
I don't know. You know what that is?
Well, I know of it, and Mary's got it on her list. We don't have, I think it's Hulu.
It's on Hulu.
Yeah, we don't have Hulu at the moment. So
yeah. It was great. I mean, I watched Oppenheimer, and I really liked that movie, but I thought Poor Things was a better movie than Oppenheimer. And I just think it's like a little funnier, more, full of life and everything, I don't know. Oppenheimer was great, but I like Poor Things a lot. And Emma Stone undoubtedly deserved the Oscar for for the, her role in here. She was outstanding. She's naked a lot in this movie to give you maybe some inspiration for watching it. But that's, you know, I mean, that is courageous, you know, to do that. I could not, even if I had like a goodbye like Emma Stone does, I think I would still be very loath to show all my private parts so much. And so it was very, very brave of her to do that on top of, I mean, that's not the only reason her, you know, performance is great. Her performance is just straight up great and everything. But yeah, really good. Recommend it a lot. And the last thing I'm going to talk about, David, you might be surprised and or pleased to hear that I actually watched the first two episodes of The Good Place.
Oh, okay.
Because you like that one a lot, right?
I did like it a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. So I just, like, last night I had watched, I just had rewatched Black Mirror, and I was like, well, yeah, I don't feel like going to bed just yet. I'm like, you know, just maybe watch a quick hitter, like on, you know, 20 some minutes of The Good Place, and I watched the first episode. It's great. So I watched the second one, and then I'm like, all right, now I got to go to bed.
All right, so you'll finish season one tonight then, it sounds like.
I don't know if I'll do it tonight, but yeah, that was a very, very funny show. I liked it. So, but I don't know how, if I see how many episodes are in it, that might deter me. I might get scared away.
So. Well, there's only 10 per season, I think. And as you said, they're only like 22 minutes. So.
Okay, that's doable. Yeah. That's doable. I thought if they were like full, like 24 episode seasons, I'd be like, I don't know about this.
All right. Well, I'm going to shock the audience once again, not to be confused with the Peter Gabriel song, Shock the Monkey. But yeah. I watched another movie. And it was another 2 hour and 40 minute film, nonetheless.
Wow.
Starring Cate Blanchett called Tar, T-A-R.
Oh, yeah, I haven't seen that one yet.
Fictional.
That's from last year's.
Right. It was nominated in 2022 for Best Picture. She got a nomination in Best Actress. I think it got something else, but I don't think it won any of them. But she plays fictional composer Lydia Tarr, who gets caught up in, I don't know, this psychological mess as she navigates the world of big-time classical music. It was one of those films that my wife had read about and had on her list, and I guess we were between shows, and she brought it up, and I thought, yeah, okay, I can watch a two-hour movie. 2 hour and 40 minute, this better be good. It was really good. Yeah, so, okay. And then it got me to thinking, you know, it seems like I've seen more movies than I'm giving myself credit for, so what do I do? Because I'm a list guy.
You got out. Started making a list.
Started making a list, and
most people can't really make a list of all the movies.
Well, I understand that, and I had to ask my wife to go back through her notebook where she keeps all this stuff, and her notebook's kind of a mess. But anyway, so as I mentioned last time, we saw Elvis. I probably mentioned this a few months back. We saw Blonde, the Marilyn Monroe film. Saw Maestro. I know I mentioned that. The new All Quiet on the Western Front.
Yeah, that's good.
Dune Part 1. Mm-hmm. A movie called May, December, which I don't even remember what it was about now, to tell you the truth, but I think it was okay. We saw this movie.
I would bet it's about an older guy dating a younger one.
You know, that's what I thought, but I don't think that's what it was, but I don't know. Anyway, we saw this Mark Wahlberg movie called Father Stew. He's a former boxer turned priest. It was pretty good. Yeah. My wife is a big Timothy Chalamet fan and still doesn't want to see Dune, but we saw a movie he was in called Call Me By Your Name. So just, you know, so Dave does, you know, he does go for the 90, 95 minute films when possible, but, you know, I can make my way through a 2 hour and 40 minute. So. All right. Well, anyway, let's get to Black Mirror, Black Museum, episode 6 of season 4, written by Charlie Brooker, based on a story by Penn Jillette. Although I think when I looked at it, he only had an influence on one of the three stories.
Yeah, he wrote the story that the pain.
Okay, so that was the first one, I believe.
Yeah.
And this one dropped on December 29th, 2017. Oh, directed by Colm McCarthy. Don't want to leave Mr. McCarthy out.
Can't do that.
So one of the things, and I noticed just a couple, but you know, apparently there are Easter eggs covering all previous Black Mirror episodes. Now, I picked up on the lab rats, Hector and Kenny.
Yep.
And I've mentioned San Junipero is one of the only other episodes of Black Mirror that I have seen, so it was difficult to miss the allusions to that.
Yeah, yeah, they directly referred to it at one point.
Yeah. Yeah, but I'm sure there's a list on the internet somewhere of all of them, probably right next to the list of how many times Hurley says dude in the right. show, which shall not be named.
So there was a couple of things I noticed. So when she first walks into the museum, in the background, there's a TV set with Victoria Scalane's mugshot, who was the child killer, now a nightmare reliving in a woman in a white bear.
Right, exactly. And I also caught a glimpse, I forget where it was, whether it was a ski mask or whatever, but that had that symbol that.
Oh yeah, they had the whole thing. Oh. The smoking jacket, the balaclava, and they even had the shotgun.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I guess I just didn't.
They had all of that in one of them. You probably haven't seen Archangel, but there's like a little tablet that the mother, she basically has this thing implanted in her daughter so she can see what her daughter's doing all the time. And she keeps track of her on this little tablet, which is that one hits home to every parent everywhere, I think, a little bit. I'm trying to think what else that I noticed. Oh, well, the little thing he puts on the side of Clayton's head is like from USS Callister, right?
Oh, okay. All right.
The little round node or whatever. That uploads people's, you know, consciousness.
Yeah, and speaking of USS Callister, I think for a while the Black Mirror fandom was under the impression that there was going to be a sequel or whatever. It looks like it's just going to be one episode, right, in the next season, if I read correctly, which, you know, may or may not be the case.
I thought I'd either heard or seen that they were going to make a series out of it, but I might have been catching the same misinformation that the other people were. So, but they're definitely going back to USS Callister. Yeah.
So, well, if it was disinformation, it was the Russians, I'm sure.
Yeah. So, right. Yeah. Right. That's probably who's doing it.
Well, one of the things I really liked about this episode was the narrative style with Rollo as the first person storytelling narrator. And of course, we get the three separate stories, each tangentially related because Rollo, you know, is a significant participant in each of them. Dude, is this a horror tale? I can't decide. I feel like on so many levels it is.
Yeah. Well, especially the first one. I mean, without a doubt, that is a horror tale, unquestionably. But I guess all of them, actually. Yeah, I would say, well, I believe Alan from England said that they were reminiscent of Tales from the Crypt, and that is a good call. I like that comparison because they are three tales of horror like you would see on Tales from the Crypt.
Yeah, and I think for a lot of people, myself included, I sometimes associate the horror genre with the slasher genre, which is really not a fair thing to do.
Not necessarily. Right. Absolutely.
Because you take you know, any of a number of psychological horror tales that you know, may not have a drop of blood anywhere to be found. That
the most horrific movie I think I've ever seen. Now, but it was no blood at all. But that movie keeps me up at night.
Yeah, and it's funny because I've mentioned that we've been watching a number of Polish crime dramas, and we have this Polish actress that is one of our favorites. And it's funny how, you know, we always, you know, refer to her as our girl. And she was in a BBC World War II drama that I probably
mentioned. Vanishing.
Oh, okay. Yeah. But, you know, I was looking at her IMDb page. It's like, oh, well, she was in this, you know, something like Don't Go in the Woods at Night Part 2. I'm like, okay. You know, so okay, definitely a slasher. But She looked great in a police uniform, so I just kind of fast-forwarded through the nasty parts. And anyway, so
yes, I'm sorry I didn't interrupt you, but The Vanishing is I just remembered is the movie. And I, you know, the original Belgian version, not the later Kiefer Sutherland Hollywood ending version, but just reminded me of it now. I'm probably not gonna sleep tonight at all.
So, you know, like we said, we get three separate stories here: the medical implant with Dr. Dawson, the consciousness transfer of the wife in the coma into her husband Jack, and then
still, actually, the shout to the Smith. She's just a girlfriend in the coma.
Yeah, you know what? I wasn't sure. I couldn't remember. And then, of course, the holographic representation of the convicted murderer, which is perhaps the most horrific element of the entire story. For a lot of reasons that hit pretty close to home here in the States. So,
for sure.
At that.
We probably won't leave it. We'll probably just get into it later.
Yeah, right.
We're probably going to talk about that stuff, I foresee.
Yeah. So obviously technology is a big part of this episode, as, you know, seems to be the case in most of the Black Mirror episodes we've seen, and justice is part of it. But obviously racism is a big part of this episode too.
Yes.
And, you know, I guess you could argue that doesn't really resonate until we get to the third story. And
right.
The last part of the third story, and you know, that's a fair point. And once we get there, though, part of the problem is we don't really know how to confront the possibility of racism in terms of the murder conviction of Clayton Lee. I mean, of the racism on the part of, you know, the people that come to Rollo's place, that's undeniable.
Yeah.
Would they have the same amount of glee if Clayton Lee was white? Don't know. Maybe not. Yeah. Maybe.
Yeah.
We're never going to know that. So, but regardless, it's.
But the racism is definitely there. It's definitely a comment on the, you know, experiments that this country has performed in the past on people of color, and especially interned people of color, and, you know, as well as just talking about like Henrietta Lacks, like, and you know, the HeLa gene and everything, like, you know, there's this country has a obviously a long and shameful history of racism, and you know, why they don't. You know, it's not really outright, and I don't think any of the characters really comment on the racial aspects of it, but, you know, Rollo goes to see Clayton in jail, and he's like, all right, I got a deal for you. And Clayton's like, oh, are you here to help me with the DNA so that they can prove I didn't do it? And he's like, nah, you know, like, he doesn't even, like, most people, that would give them pause, you know, but Rollo has no conscience at all, and so he just plows through it because that's not what he's after.
Right. And that's the whole thing. If you ask the question, well, what if Clayton is guilty? It doesn't matter. It's impossible to give Rollo a pass for his exploitation of Clayton and his family. And of course, Nish sees it that way as well. So, you know, whether the theme is the unfair justice system, which of course it is, high tech gone unchecked, which it of course is. But I think really at its core, as we've kind of alluded in the last couple minutes, it's the racism that it's you just can't look away, even though you want to. And that's been the problem, I'm sure, in a lot of countries, maybe all countries, is that too many people do look away because it is uncomfortable. Right. And you just can't. I mean, you can if you.
Well, loads of people do. Right. Yeah. And there's even like in Florida, right? You can't teach that racism exists in the state of Florida. I mean, that's freaking nuts. Oh, you know, and ironic to boot. But, you know, so yeah, you know, again, that they just, you know, Clayton's whole situation is like, I think it would still be meaningful if they used like a white actor in a white family, but it just wouldn't have meant as much. It wouldn't have struck as deep a chord as it does.
Well, right. And it certainly wouldn't have that racial component. It would have, you know, another component about the humanity or lack thereof of so much of our population. But anyway, so the opening scene, we see a young black woman, Nish, played by Letitia Wright, who I believe received an Emmy nomination for this role. You saw Humans, right?
Yeah.
So she was, I don't know if you remember her in Humans. She was the human that pretended to be a synth.
Oh, I do remember that.
And
now.
She became the girlfriend of Toby, who was, you know, the son and the, you know, the family that the story was built around. So, right.
Well, she was kind of in the Black Panther movies too.
So, oh, okay. I
she kind of is the Black Panther.
Oh,
now.
Okay. Well, I saw the first Black Panther movie, which was awesome. But she
second was pretty good too. Not quite as good, but pretty good.
So she's driving classic T-Bird through uninhabited parts of the America West, which turns out was, I believe, Nevada. And, you know, we're thinking like, all right, this is a British show. I don't recall seeing any areas in England that look like this. This looks like, you know, and of course, it's meant to be America. And did you notice half the time I'm thinking, is she driving on the left side? So was that a mistake? Was that just, you know, she was so used to driving on the left side of the road and it didn't matter because she wasn't.
I don't know, because it's clearly supposed to be set in America.
Yeah. So anyway, she pulls up at the station, starts charging her car's battery with these cool solar panels.
Well, there's something we got to, you know, we need to interject here is the music.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Because we hear Dionne Warwick's version of "Always Something There to Remind Me," which. When I first watched this, I'm like, oh, I love this song. You know, that's such a great musical call. But then after you've seen it and you go back and hear, you know, "You'll Always Be a Part of Me." "I Can Never Forget You." "You'll Always Be a Part of Me." I mean, like, oh, yeah, because her mom's in her head, you know. So, and of course, also not forgetting her father as well.
Yeah.
Is a part of that. So before we go, Dave, I have a question. Are you of the Dionne Warwick or the Naked Eyes camp when it comes to "Always Something There to Remind Me"?
Actually, neither. I'm not a big fan of the song. It's okay. I appreciate it for what it is.
That's blasphemy. Yeah. Burt Bacharach, man. It's a Burt Bacharach tune, buddy. But when I was a teenager, the Naked Eyes song came out. Well, I was probably like 11 or 12 or whatever. And my mom's like, oh, that's a Burt Bacharach song. I'm like, no, it's not. It's Naked Eyes, duh. You know, like, you're so stupid, Mom. Oh, my God. And then later I'm like, oh, yeah, Mom was right.
Yeah. First of many. So anyway, it's a Nish notices this building, which, you know, seems to be pretty run down. It's got the Black Museum sign on it.
You know something I noticed here? Is she gets out of the car, she's like, mm-hmm.
Right. And of course, as Fred mentions in his feedback, one of the beauties of this episode really doesn't happen until you rewatch it.
Absolutely. Right,
because, of course, we learn later, well, this was no accident on Nisha's part. She knew exactly where she was going.
Right. Well, when she says the place, she sees the place and says, mm-hmm.
Right.
You know, like, that's very innocuous the first time through. We're like, oh, okay, whatever. But when we realize, oh, that's her mother is talking to her and saying, that's the place. And she's going like, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. And, you know, we see her driving down the road and we see Black Museum and we think Black History Museum, you know, something along those lines. And of course, that's not it at all. And you know, you messaged me earlier today that, you know, there's another angle to this title.
Yeah, there actually is a what they call crime museum now in England, London for Scotland Yard, right? That they originally called the Black Museum, and it was just like this. It's artifacts from a bunch of different crimes. It's not open to the public, so you know, don't go, you know, trying to get your tickets to the place now. They just use it for training in Scotland Yard, apparently. But that was wild to see that there actually is a place like this in the world.
Yeah. And, you know, so Nish is invited in. She's the only, I guess, person that's – I think at first he says, yeah, it's going to be a busy day. Now, we assume he knew it was going to be anything but busy, and invites her in and starts the tour.
Well, ironically, it is going to be a busy day for him, but not in the way he would like.
Exactly. So we learn it's, like, as you said, a crime-related museum, and most of the displays appear to be tech-related, and he starts telling her the story as she asks about different items, and we learn that his background was in medical technology, worked in a New York City hospital, and right away when he explains what took place at this hospital, oh, yeah, we gave free health care to people that didn't have it. And in return, they had to agree to some experimental procedures, which, you know, we're not sure exactly what he meant, but we guess it went far beyond. Well, we know it went far beyond, but we assume it went far beyond maybe taking a medication that hasn't quite yet received medical approval from the health department.
So. Right. And that's like the main theme here. We see that Rollo is, you know, taking advantage of people in difficult circumstances in order to, you know, basically use these people as lab rats, like poor Kenny and Hector, the lab rats there, that he shows to our man, what's this guy's name? Dawson. You know, and so that's our first example that, you know, despite his, I wouldn't say he's not a he's got like a kind of smarmy manner about him, but he's a good storyteller, right? And the way he tells the story, it's entertaining, a little funny, even though they're horrific, right?
Well, right, and each time he gets to a point, and Nish goes, "But,"
right?
How do you know there's a but? Well, and of course, each time there is.
It's gotta be.
But as he says,
like, why would you tell me all that?
Exactly. But he refers to himself as a recruiter. But you know, again, as you imply, he recruits people that really have no other options. Now, I guess you could argue they could walk away, not receive health care, not receive, you know, whatever. But he takes advantage of, you know, really the
well, you know, yeah, like telling Jack about how they can put Carrie's consciousness into his head, but telling him this in front of her, where obviously, you know, she's hooked up that machine where she can say like yes or no, right? Which is going to kind of tie back in when she's inside the monkey, but you know, I mean, that's unethical, right? Like this is Jack's decision to make here, and obviously he doesn't think it through at all, you know, by telling him in front of Carrie. I mean, obviously she's going to be all for that idea. In her limited way of communication, she indicates how she is. So, you know, he corners people, right? He gets them to, you know, see his service, whatever, as their lifeline, and it turns out to be just the opposite.
Right. I mean, like Dr. Dawson, we learn, did not have a stellar track record with patients, so that rather than risk losing another, he decides to go through this procedure. And there was a Star Trek episode called The Empath. I don't know if you remember that one in the original series, but that's kind of what he becomes here, though. Of course, in the Star Trek episode, it's there's no implant. It's certainly something right. That's been learned by the individual in terms of being able to use, you know, untapped portions of the brain. But once he goes through with this procedure, yeah, I mean, on the one hand, it's like, well, okay, well, this is pretty good. Yes, it's irreversible, which, again, is probably not something that he thought through enough. And then it just, I mean, the way that story unfolds to, I mean, it's not really where I thought it was headed.
No.
But, you know, it also had some advantages in the bedroom, Rollo tells her.
For a time.
For a time, yeah.
And then it gets very, very dark.
Right. His girlfriend is the nurse, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I thought it seemed like all the shots in the bedroom, the lighting was dark. I could never really tell.
That's why when he's like staring over the woman who's in cardiac arrest and pretending that he's, you know, trying to diagnose her problem when everyone says she's in cardiac arrest. And his girlfriend sees him, and that's when he kind of gets busted because she knows she's rumbled him at this point.
Right. And you know, what we end up seeing with him is that he learns that the more pain he feels, the more sexually aroused he gets. And, you know, his girlfriend puts up with it for a while. And I guess the hair pulling and the mild choking are one thing. But I guess once he gets too physically aggressive, she's like, nah, I'm done. I'm out of here. You know, it's like, you know, I'm uttering the safe word and you're not listening.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, eventually they realize he just can't be near patients. So he starts operating on himself. Talk. So again, you know, like when we said at the very beginning of the discussion, this is a horror tale.
Yeah.
I mean, certainly the end with, you know, what Rollo does with that display with, that's pretty horrific. But from a visual, this is.
Pulling his own tooth out and everything.
Yeah, and as a doctor, he knew just how far to go to not kill himself. It's like, okay, that's not very, you know, reassuring at this point. But then you mentioned the story with the couple. I think I said they were married. I think you're right. They're just, I don't think we ever know that for sure.
Well, they're just a couple. No, because they did say somewhere they're, you know, Like someone said something about like his wife. He was like, "Well, no, we're not married, actually." You know?
Oh, okay.
So they had a relationship. They, you know, he got her pregnant. They were young. They still hadn't really had time to get to know each other, and that's not a great time to be just implanting someone's consciousness in your own brain.
Yeah, and that whole idea about digital consciousness transference, and again, it's something, you know, we sci-fi fans have seen in a number of different scenarios, and not exactly like this, but as Nish says, you mean like when they upload old people to the cloud? He's like, well, you know, this was before that, but yeah, kinda. And then he tells the story about, you know, the couple has a baby, mom's hit by a van and ends up in a coma. And this might be the first time we hear about St. Junipero Hospital, but maybe we heard earlier. I don't know. But anyway, that's
no. Well, I think it's just a call out to the, you know, to the episode.
Right, but we hear it several times throughout the episode. But anyway,
So
like you said, Rollo confronting the man, I think his name is Jack, about something miraculous in front of, even though she's in a coma, it kind of puts him in a bind, right? You know, what's he going to say?
Right. You know, well, especially like he said it right in front of Carrie, like, so it's like she immediately, you know, has the yes button on that machine she's hooked up to.
Well, it reminds me, just before I came up to record with you, one of those Facebook TikTok things came up, and it was Steve Harvey, name one thing your ex-girlfriend did better than your wife. And you see the wife glaring at him, and then it's like, you know, Bill Johnson, born 1994, died.
Yeah.
Dude answered the question, apparently. Yeah. Yeah. But
before we get too far, Jack in this episode played by Aldis Hodge, who plays Hardison in Leverage Redemption. So Shout out to that excellent show there.
Okay. My wife actually mentioned, what do you know about Leverage? What do I know about Leverage? Funny you should ask. So I don't know if she's going to end up wanting to see it.
It's freaking awesome.
Well, I know that. I mean, I still haven't seen more than a handful, but I know from talking to you in the few episodes I've seen, coming out of Money Heist, she, you know, I guess that's where it came into her worldview. But, you know, Carrie is, you know, her consciousness is installed in Jack and, you know, it appears to work, but as Rollo tells Nish, having a backseat driver glued into the backseat isn't fun for anyone.
Yeah.
And no privacy for him, no agency for her. And that kind of lays out the entire issue in a nutshell. And we're thinking, well, how is this going to resolve itself? I don't know that we heard Rollo tell him it was irreversible, but then we learn, well, I can put in a pause button.
Yeah.
Like, okay. And Jack pauses Carrie during the week and then brings her out on weekends. And you know, like...
Well, the first time he does it for like 2 months.
Oh, right.
She's like, wait, why are you putting out the Halloween decorations already? It's like, well, funny you should ask.
Right. And we don't really know what level of understanding their son has about what's going on. So, again, you know, it's impossible to know with
right. Well, especially when he's arguing with her, you know, in front of him. But the kid can only hear the one side of it, just like we can.
Right.
Well, actually, we can see both sides, but the kid can only hear the one side. So.
Right. But then when we see the attractive woman moving in next door, we kind of know where this is headed for sure. And Carrie doesn't take it too well, which then begs the question, well, what did you think? Now, granted, it wasn't necessarily her choice, although I guess she could have beeped no or flashed the light no, right. don't do it. But, I mean, you understand being in that sort of a situation. That
seems well, Rollo says, like, oh, she can hug her son.
Right.
Well, of course, when he says that,
right,
you know, but that's like, this is like how Rollo does. Like, he presents the one side of it. Oh, well, then what's the other side? Well, the other side is she's going to be in your head all the time, 24/7. So, you know, you might want to think about that.
Right.
He doesn't want them to think about that because he wants them to do what he wants them to do.
Right. But we then learn, in addition to the pause option, there's also a deletion option, which Jack, you know, feels a little bit uncomfortable to do. His girlfriend is all for it. And again, you understand. But Rollo's got another option, the stuffed monkey with the consciousness receptor in it. It's got a camera and haptics, which we know about haptics from the peripheral.
Know all about it. I should teach a college course on it.
By the way, I've got about 100 pages left in book two of the Jackpot series.
So. Okay.
And then hopefully William
Gibson.
Since
you get through it quicker than you got through Peripheral, so I guess you're enjoying it.
Yeah, I am enjoying it. I'm watching too much TV. My reading times are...
I hear you, brother. Yeah, I hear you.
Right. Hopefully William Gibson's a little quicker writing the next book than, dude that writes Game
of
Thrones.
George R. R. Martin.
Yeah. So... We shall see. But then we learn, the whole issue about the stuffed monkey and the consciousness receptor. Well, the UN made it illegal to transfer consciousness into limited receptacles. But we, of course, know Carrie's still in there. And apparently this is what got him fired and then leads him to, his present career.
Right. Which is actually... Something, well, I mean, actually, we see actually quite a bit of in Black Mirror is that the person suffering consequences. But what we don't really see is like public outrage at these things that are happening. And we don't see it here. But the fact that Rollo was fired, the fact that there are now all these laws concerning this practice indicate that there was some kind of public outrage.
Yeah, and we don't really have a level of understanding, really, in the whole Black Mirror universe about levels of technology, what's considered acceptable, what's not. And obviously, that's certainly something that our politicians here in the States are struggling with, how to deal with AI and all the different, ways that it impacts, our life and will, impacted even more as we move forward. But now Rollo's got
I know you're going to have a generation of kids are just a lot stupider.
Well, yes, absolutely. I mean, obviously as teachers, we try to teach critical thinking. And when you have average critical thinking skills and an internet connection, there's really no reason to be stupid.
Why you don't need critical thinking skills at all, because you can just take whatever you need to know and pump it into an AI and kicks out the answer and boom, there you go.
Well, that's
true. You
don't
have to do any work. You don't have to do any thinking. You can just, I got concerns with it, obviously.
Yeah. All right. So Rollo gets fired. He decides, all right, I'm going to start a digital celebrity wax museum of sorts, he tells Nish. But, the thing with celebrities, there's too many rights that are involved. So he goes to what he perceives to be the next best thing, and that's convicted killers. And obviously, as we see in his interaction with Clayton, he's, kind of got them at a severe disadvantage. And of course, as you mentioned, Clayton thinks he's there to help prove his innocence through DNA, which obviously he probably could. That is probably simplistic technology compared to, what we're seeing, in Rollo's med tech background. But of course, that's not it at all. So basically he just saves him in digital form in terms of a hologram, right? I mean, he calls it the first guy on death row to survive his own execution, which, is a clever tagline. Not exactly true, but again, I think the people that come and patronize his establishment, they're not expecting to see the actual living guy. It's I think they know what they're signing up for.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and again, at this point, another actor that we all know is Babs Olesankomin, Olesamokin. Anyway, he's Dr. Mbenga in Strange New Worlds, and he's awesome.
Okay. It's another show I haven't seen, but...
One of my favorite characters in Strange New Worlds.
Right. So Rollo's draw this time is to set it up so people can see him executed over and over. The response is overwhelming, but the real draw is they get to pull the lever. And they're then given a souvenir of his experience of being electrocuted, always on, always suffering. Macabre doesn't even begin to describe that, you know, once we see how it plays out. But then he takes it even further. And, you know, okay, well, you know, people are going to come so often. What can I give the white supremacists? Well, I'll let them, you know, electrocute them for even longer than I forget yeah. why they couldn't go longer.
Because more than 15 seconds, it would delete the program.
Oh, okay. Right.
Like it would kill them.
Okay.
But yeah, well, part of it, and again, I'm sure Alan Thomas would have things to say about this, you know, the little souvenir they get is another AI, you know, it's another consciousness, but just locked in that one moment. So they're just creating multiple consciousness, whatever. It's him.
Sure.
Suffering in that moment, you know, like it's not just like a video. It's an actual, you know, they make an artificial intelligence that gets put into that little trinket. So that's, you know, if we, you know, again, the discussion about what is consciousness and everything like that, it, you know, if this is a sentient consciousness, then that is really horrific because they are, you know, for each visitor that comes there, they're creating a new consciousness that is just locked in a moment of absolute pain.
Right. And, you know, we get to the last couple minutes, and we've certainly noticed primarily through Rollo that the air conditioning's not working in the museum, and he's perspiring, and Nish is like, oh, let me give you some water. Now, why he doesn't have a refrigerator there and water, we don't know. But regardless, you know, she gives him the bottle of water, which he gulps down. And, of course, she's poisoned him and, you know, I guess somewhat slow acting enough that you know, we can get to the end and we see what her master plan really is. And that's, of course, to import Rollo's consciousness into her father. She's got the little, you know, the artifact that she takes with her of him.
She hangs for a mirror. That's a nice touch.
Yeah. So her mother's in her head, right? Not in the monkey.
Right. But she takes the monkey with her. I don't know what she's going to do with it, but that was a nice touch where, you know, she sets the monkey up so it can watch as Rollo comes into consciousness in the inside of her father's virtual body. So they planted him inside the virtual body of the father, then she's going to kill them both.
Right. Now, the woman that was in the coma, she's not still in the bear.
Oh, yeah. Yes, she is.
Okay. All right.
That's why she sets...
Right. Okay.
Sets the bear up so she can watch Rollo getting his comeuppance.
Okay. All right. What else?
Well, you know, again, returning to now, you know, now that they play always something that remind me at the end, now we get it. Now we're like, oh, okay. Now that makes sense. You know, yeah. I think we pretty much covered everything that I can think of, at least everything that I have in my notes to talk about. So,
okay. Well,
yes, we're good.
Well, all right. Well, let's go ahead and move on to listener feedback, if that sounds good to you.
Sure.
And Suzanne checks in via email. I'll turn that one over to you.
Dear Dave and Wayne, I'm writing to you now for the sole reason that I'm so impressed by Dave sitting through such a long movie. Wow. Well done, Dave. That opens up a whole new world for you.
Yeah. It's 2 weeks in a row. Maybe.
Yeah. Deadpool 2 is just around the corner, I'm feeling.
Okay.
No, of course, I'm right to say that I enjoyed the last two episodes on Black Mirror a lot again. Thank you for the great discussions about those well-chosen episodes. Well, thank you. I believe Alan from England will also mention how well-chosen the episodes were. So take that, haters. I loved how you pointed out that humans, when being caught in a wrongdoing, often change their behavior into an even shadier direction instead of becoming better people. I found that to be very true.
Sometimes they run for president.
Yeah, right. Sometimes they get elected president. Otherwise, I'm glad that I stick to not listening to you guys in public. I am just too basic. I burst out laughing when I heard that Dave is no big gun. Let me turn. When I heard the Dave is no big gun guy joke. Being around Wayne, I feel like you have to be very careful with your own words, Dave. Please never change, Wayne. Suzanne, I couldn't if I tried. And of course, also Wayne's buying condoms for the first time anecdote did make me chuckle. I will also never be older than 16 at heart. I'm sorry, but I like you guys for a reason. Thank you. That's, I know. But to be serious for a minute, and I apologize in advance for entering TMI territory, but I'd like to second what Dave said about people posting personal stuff online. Everyone must obviously decide for themselves, but as unpleasant as it was, I am glad that the personal experience I had with a stalker happened slightly pre-social media times, about 20 years ago. I didn't know the guy. It was a complete stranger. It made me avoid publishing anything at all on social media when it all started, and I rarely regret that decision. There are really crazy people out there, and you don't want to make it too easy for them if one of them decides to hunt you. I therefore really like what Dave said about that. Yeah, that's. I'm sorry about that, Suzanne. That's a really great point there. And while I'm at it, being serious, I also liked what you said about the gun topic. I can't and won't judge living in a country that is obsessed with fast cars, which are weapons in their own way. I almost get run over every day, and the only reason I can still write to you guys is that I'm quick on my feet. But yeah, the whole gun thing is hard to understand for a European, and I found it interesting to hear your take on that. I do agree. I don't know if I really mentioned, but I agree with Dave's sentiments about gun control as well. Last not least, thank you for the two take fives from end of last year, which I've finally listened to. Reminded me that I really have to watch The Tunnel and Money Heist. Oh, and Letterkenny sounds good too. And hey, there's apparently a Wayne in it. There is indeed. That sells it for me. But guys, what about those intentions to do a take five more often? It's March and I could do with another take five, just saying. Well, that's something we could probably throw together, I think. As always, thanks for your podcast and for reading my message. All the best. And until next time, Suzanne.
And I haven't mentioned it to you in a while, but I've been thinking about, you know, some more take fives as we get a chance. And I think now seems like
One we never did. I feel like we never did like American not or American sci-fi.
Nah, I don't know. We'll generate another
what
list.
What are those genres that we were going to talk? We didn't do the last one because I made a list for it. I think, yeah. But we never talked about it.
All right. Well, get back
there
to
we
it.
Go. Okay.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and listen to Alan and Fred, and we'll be right back.
Hello, Dave and Wayne, and all listeners to Sci-Fi TV Rewatch. This is Fred from the Netherlands with audio feedback 319 about the Black Mirror episode Black Museum Season 4 Episode 6. When you do a rewatch of this episode, you see all kinds of subtle things. So in the beginning, Nish is driving through, well, the deserts more or less. And then she arrives at this gas station and you think, oh, gee, this thing is closed. I think that's for me as a Dutch person living in a country of only 220 miles by 125 miles. Always quite scary. Don't I get stranded and have no gas station nearby? But she flaps out her solar panel and sees that she has to wait more than 3 hours. And then we see very subtle a little smile when she looks around. And the first time you watch this, you interpret that as, oh, there is a museum. I can fill my time with visiting that instead of getting tremendously bored. Of course, this little smile is actually, there it is. There I want to go. So not a smile of relief, but a smile of recognition. Second thing is, for instance, when she enters the museum and talks to this guy. Yeah, my father lives nearby. Well, you could discuss about living, but that nearby is actually very nearby because he is in the museum. And then, of course, people who have seen other episodes, you see all kinds of references to other episodes. For instance, to White Bear. You see that special fork-like symbol on the balaclava. That is, by the way, a word I had to look up. Did you notice that when Rollo is demonstrating his neural link to Dr. Dawson, that the two rats with which he is demonstrating this are called Kenny and Hector, just as the main characters in the previous episode you picked, Shut Up and Dance. I think it's quite nice that we have different stories here. So the Dr. Dawson story, the Carrie and Jack story, and eventually the story about Nisha's father. In the last one, of course, Wayne recognized Dr. Mamenga from Star Trek Strange New Worlds. Did you recognize, by the way, Alexander Roach, who is playing Carrie here, but also was Maggie in Bodies? Sahara Hassan's female police colleague. I like this episode of Black Mirror quite a little bit better because it kind of ended positively with a nice, not negative, but positive twist that her mother is in Nish, just as in the Carrie and Jack story, but obviously with a more satisfying result. Well, I hope that for Nish. Okay, that will be all. Greetings, all the best, Fred from the Netherlands.
Hello to everyone at Sci-Fi TV Rewatch. Alan from England here, mostly with feedback about Black Mirror, Black Museum. I just watched Aporia, I think that's how you say it, as recommended by Alan of Minnesota. What a great call. That must be the highest concept, lowest tech, lowest budget movie since Coherence, where the main plot device was literally made of bits of old junk. But a really great story, great twists and turns, and then the ending left slightly ambiguous, but pretty positive. I have also watched Ryan Gosling's fabulous rendition of I'm Just Ken from the Oscars ceremony about 100 times. I didn't watch the actual ceremony itself, but loved this musical extravaganza played in a comedic style. As many people have said, he didn't win an Oscar, but he did win the Oscars. Black Mirror, Black Museum. At the beginning, the main character, Nish, seems to just stumble upon this black museum in the middle of nowhere, completely by accident, on the rewatch. Obviously, we know that is not the case. Nice touch as the English actor, Douglas Hodge, playing the American proprietor, Rollo Haynes, mistakes the British accent for Australian, even though she's actually American. Also, on the rewatch, a lot of the little exchanges at the start have a lot more significance than the first time around. Like recent episodes, there is a strong element of crime and punishment or vengeance going on here. It's great to see how each of the three attractions has its own story and then builds up towards the finale. It feels a bit like a kind of Stories from the Crypt show that if made 50 years ago, would definitely have starred either Vincent Price or Roddy McDowall. Element one, you have the empathy or transfer of pain from one to another, first mice, then men. And of course, there's always a but. That was a good line. It took a dark turn indeed, but led to the tech for San Junipero from season three and coming up soon. Very nicely arranged, the way these episodes are, I think we should call Wayne the great curator. Element two, new mother Carrie gets taken out after stepping back into the path of a speeding truck, Life on Mars style, and her consciousness is halfway to San Junipero, but actually stuck in the back of Jack's head. Things go well until butt number two, and Carrie ends up in monkey business. This part also plays heavily with the concept, is transferred consciousness the same as real consciousness? This time I'd say yes, as it was virtually continuous from the original Carrie. Now, is simulated consciousness real? I think it depends on how well it is synthesized and whether it has genuine self-awareness. A program that just says, I am self-aware, isn't the same thing as definitely having it. Element three, Weather Girl killer, Clayton. You notice that crime was reported on the TV being watched in Element one. Nice link up there. This time, the consciousness isn't physically manifested really at all, but more like a Red Dwarf-style hologram. The way it shows those other visitors happily pressing the button to electrocute him reminds me of some experiments done in the 60s or 70s to see if people would go along with pressing such a button at the request of doctors or scientists, even though no one was actually suffering, but the people pressing the button didn't know that. They heard pretend screams and things coming. It did seem that this time, horrific as it was, Rollo got pretty much what was coming to him. To be honest, he never merited much sympathy right from the beginning, and it went downhill from there. As for Nish, everyone's got something to hide except me and my monkey. Take care, Alan from England.
All right, Alan in England, nice white album reference there.
Definitely. Yeah, that was great. Yeah, that was classic. That.
I still can't watch Aporia, though I just canceled Acorn TV, so there could be a Hulu opening down the road for sure. I know there's a number of things available on Hulu that I would like to say. And obviously you and I just talked about Rollo and his character. I'm not sure interesting is quite the word I want to use, but I mean, he is interesting. But yeah, it's not until the third story that you really lose your connection with him and
right.
that he becomes even more despicable after you thought that wasn't possible. I mean,
I was reading some things, and a number of them referred to him as sociopathic, which actually does make sense. That does track.
And I mean, it's hard to know whether he's better or worse than others, you know, in his game. But, once we see the storyline with Clayton, guilty or not, all bets are off. So, So, Alan, I'm with you there.
Well, he was punished for, again, sounds like the dude might not have been guilty, but even if he were, he received his punishment. Right now, this stuff with is just extra and ridiculous, like all the other stuff. You know, as President Biden says, over the top. But yeah, and thank you for referring to me, Alan, as the great curator. I actually like that title. I think I might put that on a business card if I ever handed out business cards, which I don't. So,
or at the very least, a T-shirt.
Yeah. Ooh, there you go. So. That could be right up there with next to I Love Intercourse, Pennsylvania T-shirt.
Yeah, I've seen those. My wife's family's from PA, so I've seen that on more than one occasion. I mentioned during the course of the discussion, Fred bringing up the strength of the episode is in the value of the rewatch. Yeah, I'll have to take a look. I was going to say I'll have to take a look at the entire list of Easter eggs, but since I haven't seen all the episodes, it's not going to matter. But
right.
My understanding is there's at least one from all previous episodes. So, and I believe that was Charlie Brooker that I read say that. So I'll take him at his word.
Sure. It was cool. It was fun. Watching it the first time, I'm like, hey, wait. I think it really hit me when I saw, like you said, the mask or the balaclava and the smoking jacket from White Bear. I was like, hey, wait a sec, and then you noticed other stuff after that. But yeah, I had not caught the Kenny and Hector thing until this last time that I watched it. Like that finally hit me. It's like, oh my God, there's the guys from Shut Up and Dance. So.
All right, Alan, Fred, Suzanne, thank you for your feedback. I'm going to go ahead and go A-. I thought this was pretty good.
I'm going to give it a solid A.
Okay.
I love this episode. I thought it was great.
Okay.
It's not International Assassin, but it's pretty good.
All right, well, let's go ahead and leave it there. It's hard. It's funny because on the one hand, you don't want to say I really enjoyed that episode because they are so disturbing and they do cause you to think. So it's almost like,
which is what we enjoy about it, right?
True.
It makes us think, right?
Right, right. So,
and it's so well told, and the compilation nature of it, I thought was just a really, really well made episode.
Right now, I did read, you probably did as well, that season 7 of Black Mirror is going to come out much sooner than I guess previous history would lead viewers to believe. So I'm not sure exactly when, but
I was just watching it. It said it's going to return in 2025.
Okay.
Which is still a year away. True. But, they don't come out very often. Like, I think the first couple of seasons came out like boom, 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 one on top of the other. And then it was just like, but now it's like when it comes back, I'm like, oh, Black Mirror. It's like really like exciting because like you even forgot that it existed. You know?
All right. Well, let's go ahead and leave it there. That'll do it for this episode of Sci-Fi TV Rewatch. Thank you for joining us. Love to hear what you think about Black Mirror, anything going on in your genre TV world. Check out the Facebook group if you haven't already. SciFiTVRewatch@gmail.com is the way you can reach us. We'll be back next week to talk about the Black Mirror episode San Junipero. But until then.
You know, sometimes people just get downright mean on social media. Like this one person who described our show thus. It's like trying to jerk off in front of a cop who's also your mom. I thought that was really mean.